Ladies and gentlemen, pardon me, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. Go ahead and brighten that up. And the standing between the living and the dead, prayer, devotional, memorial service, family members. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 243, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day with my family in chronological order. This unique viewpoint allows us to read the whole Bible as a single story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we are reading Joshua chapter 11. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And for all of the millions and many and manifold blessings, Lord, you have bestowed upon me and thus my family, and thus the ministry that you've called me to some 41 years ago. And Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you specifically for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, mental and physical, protection and provision, blessings down through the years. Lord, there is no human reason why Lord, I should be alive today other than your grace and your mercy. There's no reason why that our family, as much as we have traveled and all of the places and tight situations we've been in, there is no reason. There's no reason other than your grace and your mercy that we're here today. And so I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for all of it is due your name. I praise you and I thank you for your holy word in a very special way. Lord, help us all here and beyond here. Help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to get back to you, our first love. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy, continued mercy and grace upon us, and please forgive us of all of our sins, disobedience, rebelliousness, pride, stubbornness, whatever the sin is, bad attitudes, bad spirits, grieving your Holy Spirit, disobedience, disrespect, Lord, all unrighteousness of thought, word, deed, and attitude, for Jesus Christ's sake. Lord, help everybody to humble themselves down and understand that they're not all that before you. In fact, we're nothing before you. So, Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts by your grace forgive those who have sinned against us. crush and crucify our wicked, evil, and ungodly flesh within us, and everything that's not like you. Fill us all with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. Control us all who are saved by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us not to quench your Holy Spirit. Help us not to grieve your Holy Spirit in any way. And Holy Father God, we pray that you will help us to and give me your strength, your energy, your unction, and your anointing, your freedom and your liberty and the power of your Holy Spirit to read your Holy Word and to understand it, to teach your Holy Word, and to preach your Holy Gospel in your Holy Word. And Lord, we know the devil hates this. We know the devil hates everything about us and everything that we're doing. For you gave me a strategy in dealing with him years ago as far as advancing the gospel. And it is summed up by any means necessary and every which way. And so I thank you for giving me that strategy and giving me the tools to proclaim your holy gospel and your holy word by any means necessary and by any every which way. And so, Lord, we thank you that even while this poor preacher is asleep, people are hearing the gospel and are able to hear the gospel and to hear your word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would move mightily upon millions and help them to hear a clear presentation of the gospel and to be saved. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias out of those who may be around, who are around us and who are out there and available to be used by the devil to try to hinder the beautiful gospel that goes forward. Lord, we pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil and the demons of hell, Lord, from these people in their minds, their hearts, their souls, and their spirits. And Holy Father God, we pray that you give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil again, even today, throughout these services and throughout the afterglow and throughout everything you want us to do today that needs to be done. And Lord, we pray that you would cast not only the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic, demonic spirits of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias, but their sins that they breed, these spirits breed, the sins of pride and stubbornness and rebelliousness and witchcraft, the sins of arrogancy, the sins of hindrance and distraction, betrayal and sabotage. We pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you give us victory over these sins as well in the hearts and lives of people here and out there. And Lord, as I prayed earlier, fill those of us who are saved with the fullness, the unction, the anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit, and use us mightily. Those who are not saved, Lord, we pray that you would control them and restrain them from hindering your work. And Lord, thank you for doing this for years. And Holy Father God, I give you the glory, praise, and honor. And I pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts. Lord, as I preach your holy word and read your holy word and teach your holy word. And Lord, we pray that you would deliver each and every one of us from temptation, evil, and sin. And grant us all your grace and your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, and to do right, and to obey what we read. Lord, help us not to be just hearers of your holy word, but doers. And Holy Father God, thank you so much for allowing things to go as well as they have, even against satanic opposition. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are preaching your holy gospel, teaching your holy gospel and your holy word every day, Lord, as usual, the devil is using my wife Marika to try to hinder your gospel and to hinder your holy word from going forward. And the devil, of course, tries to use others as well. But the devil is fierce and angry at what we're doing here and the impact that we're having around the world in so many ways. By your power, by your grace, by your unction, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. I pray that she will submit to your holy word and stop letting the devil use her to try to hinder your holy word. And I thank you, Lord, that all of this has been exposed and all of this has been written about. And I thank you for allowing that to happen to help others, because sometimes people think it's just them, and it's not just them, it's others as well, who they think do not have any opposition in the world. That's just not the case, and I know that this is not popular among our sweet evangelicals to say anything negative about a woman or a wife when she's being used by the devil. But it's time out for all of that, because so many pastors and so many ministers and so many children and so many churches have been hurt by bad and evil women who are only concerned about themselves. And it's time for them to be rebuked and exposed and not allowed to hinder your church or to hinder your gospel going forward. And if our sharing these things, for she has apologized publicly to me and to our children, helps another wife, then it's worth it all. If it helps another woman, another wife, another mother, to say, you know what, I'm doing the same things. Seems like every time it's time for my husband to minister, the devil uses me to try to hinder. And so, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's amazing, as soon as the services are over, I'm more back to how I used to be. And so, Lord, help people to understand the strategies of Satan, because we're not ignorant of his devices. And the devil hates light. He hates exposure for what he's doing. He wants you to keep it under wraps so that he can do it again and again. And so, and help people to realize in our sweet evangelical world, our sweet Baptist world, our sweet charismatic world, many of these people think they're kinder than you are and more loving than you are and sweeter than you are. And that is not the case. Help people to realize something my father never learned from anybody. He never had a father. But love must be tough. And to use a phrase from Dr. Dobson, love is not just giving flowers and opening doors and taking the wife out on the date. Love is exposing evil, rebuking your wife and your children, and chastising them if necessary, and going on in your name, doing your will, and not allowing anybody, even enemies in the family, to hinder you from doing so. And so, Lord, I pray that all pastors and all husbands and all fathers would show genuine love, the love that's in their hearts, but they've been beat down by a sin-sick world, to not say anything, and their main job is to keep the peace. And part of that is not rebuking the wife, not telling her anything negative, letting her have her way. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that you deliver Christianity from this fatal, satanic, destructive attack that has ruined many churches, many, many individuals, many families, and many churches and ministries, where they have no effectiveness, no saltiness whatsoever, for they don't even know what true love is. And so, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the people who are being rebuked and dealt with about the evil they're doing would humble themselves down and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, and allow the rebukes and the open rebukes. For you have taught us in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, open rebuke is better than secret love. And you have told us also to rebuke before all, that others may fear. And so, sadly, sometimes people have to be made into proverbs. I don't want to be like him. I don't want to be like her. And it's time for men who have been good Josephs. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be a Joseph. But when it's time to expose evil and to openly rebuke, help us to love people enough to do that as well. And so, Holy Father God, I do pray that you would neutralize that problem for the remainder of this day. As I have shared with my wife, many, many times over the past 33 years, she's a great indicator of how great our services will be. It's sad to say, because the devil uses her greatly, and she acts like she does not have any control over it. But I believe she does, and I know she does. For we all do if we're saved. Now, if she's not saved and she's lost and demon-possessed, that's another thing. And so, Holy Father God, I do pray that indeed, if that's the case, cast out the devil and the demons of hell out of her life. Help her to realize that if this is the case, she never got saved down in Jamaica at the Monrovian church, that she actually needs to be saved and born again, because this should not have lasted as long as it has, because Christians grow and they take control over their lives by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, others who are praying with me and listening to this prayer. Help them not to be too concerned about our marriage and family, because we have passed the point of no return. There's no concern or threat about divorce or separating and all of that kind of thing because of this issue. She's free to do that if she wants to. I will not hold her back in any way, but that's not where we are. And so no one needs to be concerned about our marriage and family based upon this. This has been going on for 33 years. Because I have never backed down. And I have never believed the philosophy that if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And one of the things my wife loves about me and hates about me is that once you tell me to do something, I'm going to do it no matter what. And it makes no difference whether she likes it or not. And so what they need to, what the people who are participating in this service and praying and listening need to do is be concerned about themselves and their fake and phony marriage, their hypocritical marriage, where they never tell each other the truth. They act like they're lovey-dovey at church and in public, but at home they're not. Holy Father God, help them to be concerned about changing their ways. Help them to look at what problems they're causing to try to hinder the ministry and to change their ways. By the grace, by your grace, we've already made it as far as marriage is concerned and marriage success. I've had to raise the children by myself, but they have been raised and they're well on their way. And they got off to a way better start than I did. And a way better start than she did. And I am very pleased with what you have done in changing my life and therefore changing their lives and getting them off in the right direction. And so, Holy Father God, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, indeed deliver us today from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do right, and do that which is pleasing in your sight. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And Holy Father God, indeed help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, I pray, as I've said many times, Lord, I believe that this coronavirus plague is primarily against the church, because of our foolishness, our evil, and our sin. And Lord, I believe we all deserve to suffer from it, die from it, and even and those of us who are saved to go to heaven, but we deserve to go to hell. And Lord, I'm not exempt. For some reason you have not allowed me to catch it, and I have not done much to not catch it, other than the basic things, wise things, smart things that you told me not to do. And however, Lord, help people to stop thinking that they're better than others because they're Christians, when in fact this is a rebuke and chastisement to us. And I say humbly, I deserve it too. Our entire family deserves it. Because of our sins and failures and faults and ungratefulness, not being as thankful as we should be, and so forth. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you will save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, heal those who are sick, comfort those who are grieving and mourning around the world, as only you can. And Lord, we pray on this morning that you would deliver us from all of our distresses and afflictions, for those of us, O Lord, who are saved by your grace, if we do right by you. Lord, deliver us from all of our distresses and afflictions, cares and worries and anxieties and troubles and problems and fears from our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirits. We cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. We pray also, Lord, for that you would, if we do right by you and by your grace, please deliver each and every one of us from our tribulations and troubles and trials and temptations and tests and tensions. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would indeed deliver each and every one of us as well from all spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, family and financial, material and physical problems, troubles and difficulties in our lives, including law student loans, debt issues, student progress issues. Lord, help everybody, not only in our family, but families across the nation, to have their student loans, to be debt, to be wiped away so that they can have a clean slate. Thank you for some things that have already taken place. We pray that more would take place. And Lord, we pray that you will lift our burdens and cares and worries and anxieties, troubles, problems, and fears, and fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable, your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would bless and protect our family today and all other families that name the name of Christ in this country and around the globe. Protect us, Lord, today from ourselves, from our flesh, and from the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, and evil people in the world. Place, Lord, upon us the whole armor of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow on the inside. Lord, have the power of your Holy Spirit to fall as usual and to move upon the hearts of people who don't know your Savior. And we pray that you will save them and heal revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the great privilege, the distinct privilege, and the great pleasure to read in your hearing today in this service the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. At Joshua chapter 11. And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Ekshaf, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains and of the plains south of Shinaroth, and in the valley, and in the waters of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hold their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon and unto Mishrehothmaim and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them until they left them none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hold their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword, for Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and they burnt, and he burnt Hazor with fire. And all of the cities of those kings, and all of the kings of them, did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only, that did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all that land, the hills, and all the south country, and all the land of Goshen and the valley and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the same. Even from the Mount Halak or Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal God in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon, and rather all other they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Enab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto all Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And we thank you, Lord, for showing us how that we need to trust in you and depend upon you and acknowledge you in all of our ways, so that you will fight our battles, because you always win. Win, win. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, when I was a teenager, a young lad, maybe 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there, I think we all go through this. You wonder why people spend thousands of dollars and go into debt to get an education. Ever since the Garden of Eden, we have a hunger on the inside for wisdom and knowledge and understanding. A lot of it is rooted in pride, isn't it? Paul had to rebuke some Christians in Corinth for being puffed up with knowledge, making them proud. And that is never good. Cut these lights on over here. But there's just an innate hunger, I think, for knowledge and understanding and insight. Yes, much of it is rooted in pride and arrogancy, but it's there. And so it hit me when I was about 12 or 13 years old. I wanted to get wisdom and knowledge. So I set out to read the big old family Bible. Most of you people in your modern homes, you bought some new furniture, but you didn't bring your old Bible. You left it in the old house. It's down in Selma, Alabama. It's down in Apalachicola, Florida. It's down in the southern house, the southern home, grandmama's house. She still has one sitting on the center table, the table that you're not supposed to touch, on her couch, in her chair, an easy chair, and all of that. That's all wrapped in plastic, because when you were little, that's what the black folks did. They wrapped their furniture in plastic so you wouldn't mess it up. You could see the beautiful couch through the plastic, but you could not feel the comfort of the material, because they wrapped their stuff in plastic back in those days. And the big old gold embossed Bible, huge, was sitting right there. And along with a picture of Jesus, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and John F. Kennedy. And that's what you saw in black homes after 1963, and then King came along in 1968, I think. But those three figures. On the gold embossed Bible would be a picture of a white Jesus with blue eyes. Some of the greatest paintings would be in that Bible. The pictures were beautiful. And so I set out to read that big old Bible. I never saw anybody else do it in my family. My dad never read the Bible to us. My mother never read the Bible to us. We never prayed together, even though we were supposed to be one of the greatest Christian families in the region. My dad was well known. He was on TV every Sunday morning. In fact, my dad was one of the first black men on TV having a gospel show. He was a singer, so it was more of a musical, a music kind of a thing. But we never read the Bible together, never prayed. My dad never told me to read the Bible. My mother never told me to read the Bible. She told me to read about Jackie Robinson, but not Jesus. And we were in church all day on Sundays. We were in church now. You had to go to church. I thank God that I had parents who at least took us to church and had us to go to church, but I never got saved in church. I got saved after I left home and left church. I got saved in spite of the church. And so, as I tried to read the Bible, I could not get past Genesis chapter 2 or 3. Before I got terribly bored with reading the Holy Bible. The these and the thous, I didn't understand that. The therefores. And then the long lines of, long lists of names that I could not pronounce. I found out late in life that you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved before you can understand the Holy Bible. So here is how I became a Christian, how I became born again, and how you can too, so that you can understand the Bible for yourself. Now, ever since I've been saved, now over 41 years, I've been reading the Bible every day, ever since then, with great interest. Never bored. Never, 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 never. I guarantee you, once you get saved and you start reading the Bible, you will never be bored either. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner. And that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have sinned and done evil in God's sight. We all are guilty. From the Pope on down, from the Dalai Lama on down, from Joel Osteen on down. If Billy Graham was still here, from Billy Graham on down, we are all sinners. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. The most frightening thing in the world is death for most people. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave. Our soul goes to hell forever because of our sin if we don't repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now. If you are not born again yet, you're not a Christian, you're on your way to a devil's hell right now. You can go out into eternity within the next few minutes. Your soul will be in hell 7 days before your funeral. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. We have a group of people running around the world called the Jehovah's Witnesses who go and lie to people and tell them that, oh, hell is just the grave. Well, and what I have told them, and I have said many times, you can translate the word hell into peanut brittle if you want to. What I'm concerned about is that word fire right there. Nearly every time Jesus Christ preached on hell, he preached on real fire in hell. I'm concerned about how you interpret that. Hell is a very real place with real fire and with real burning going on. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And it does not matter who you are. If you're living in sin and you don't repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior, you're going to hell. Now that is bad news, but there is some good news. And here it is. Jesus Christ said, the most loving, most wonderful, most important words ever said to mankind, when he said one night, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins. Was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God. By the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul today, and he will. Pray with me right now, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, and was buried and rose on the third day. Believe it. If you truly believe it, he will truly save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Let's pray together. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Only mean it from your heart. Repeat after me. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a sinner. I understand that this is very clear that I have sinned against you. For I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have stolen things before. I've lied before. I have lusted after people and things before. I have taken your holy name in vain. And I've committed other transgressions and sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul, and please forgive me of all of my sins. Wash and cleanse my sins away through the precious blood of Christ, as I believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray and forsake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before I leave you in this portion of our service, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email that to us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. God loves you. We love you, and may God bless you real good. Now, beloved, when I was a teenager, I wanted to get wisdom and knowledge. So I set out to read the Big Family Bible that was kept in the living room and that many families had in those days. We don't see them much today, but these are huge Bibles. But I couldn't get past Genesis chapter 2. Before I got bored with reading the Bible, I just could not understand it. I found out later in life that you have to believe on Christ and get saved before you can understand the Holy Word of God, the Bible. So here is how I became a Christian, and here is how you can too. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, the God who created the heaven and the earth. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of our sin. Our bodies go to a grave. Our soul goes to hell because of our sin if we don't trust in Christ Jesus as our Savior. And that leads me to my third point. Thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, in the Holy Word of God, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Also, the Holy Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, hell in the lake of fire, dear friends, is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul and to change your life so that you can understand the Bible better and learn it and do it and be blessed by it. And Jesus will save you today. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So, dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, believing in your heart that he is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world and that he died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day early one Sunday morning. Repeat after me the sinner's prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a sinner. and that I have done some bad things in my life. I am sorry for my sins, and today I choose to turn from my sins. With your help, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose on the third day. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, and by your grace, I will follow him as Lord from this day forward. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.